This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In New England, contemporary art lovers in need of a new exhibition can go in several directions. They could head east to Boston's ICA or west to Mass MoCA in North Adams.
Now they can also head north. There's a new museum of contemporary art in Reading, Vermont, the Hall Art Foundation. It sits on the grounds of an old dairy farm, and it opened just this past weekend. It features a new exhibition by the Danish-Icelandic artist Ólafur Eliasson.
Sebastian Smee, Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic, writes about the new museum for the Boston Globe, and it's the focus of this week's Artery segment, where we talk to artists, curators, and critics about what's exciting them in the local art scene. Hi there, Sebastian.
Great to see you, Meghna.
Well, you are so excited, if I may say, it seems, that you actually begin your piece, which is coming up in the Globe, by talking about the feeling that you had even before you arrived there, about seeing something in the middle distance as you're driving into Vermont?
Well, I guess I did that because Eliasson is one of these artists who really does make you kind of conscious of your surrounds. He's very well known for a couple of things, and I would probably list a great installation he did at Tate Modern back in 2003, the big Museum of Modern Art in London, called The Weather Project, where he basically converted this cavernous turbine hall, it's called, it's a former power station. With very minimal means, he converted it into a kind of indoor, misty sunset. And it was extraordinary. It was the talk of the town in London for many months. And it was at once a kind of transporting experience and a very kind of self-conscious making experience, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And what he's got in Vermont is similar. He's got a waterfall that's made out of scaffolding. And you see that from some distance away. You then get closer and you see that it's right in front of an actual waterfall, which is kind of interesting. It runs through the property or divides the property of the Hall Art Foundation from its neighbors, which are just residential. And so you kind of get thinking about what is artificial, what is natural, and things like that.
But it doesn't seem to me that often that contemporary art does sort of blur the line between what is natural versus what is man-made, or at least cause you to think about the question with the depth that it seems that the Eliasson installation in Vermont caused you to think about it.
Well, that's right. And I think, I mean, that's what Eliasson, as I was saying, specializes in. He not only makes you conscious of those kinds of divisions, but he gets you thinking about what it is to be looking at a work of art in the first place. And if that sounds terribly kind of dry and dutiful and joyless, what's amazing is that he makes this kind of self-consciousness incredibly charged and, as I say, quite sort of entrancing. Eliasson does try to connect his art making with other functions in society. And for instance, he and a collaborator have recently developed a solar-powered lamp, which they're distributing all around the world. It's called Little Sun. And it's rather complicated, but it's an attempt at raising awareness of people who are sort of living off the grid in various parts of the world, getting light to them, and doing it in a sustainable way. And so he's always collaborating. He's terribly thoughtful about what he does. He's very much an ethical artist.
I want to talk a little bit more about the halls, the people behind the Hall Art Foundation in just a moment. But I do have one more question about Eliasson himself. I am curious, though. I can see how a piece or an installation that forces you to ask questions about nature and about science, etc., would really grab a lot of attention in cosmopolitan urban London, for example, at the Tate Modern. But here, this piece is in Vermont.
And rural Vermont.
Rural Vermont, yeah. Where Mother Nature herself, her very hand, has wrought great works of art, I'd say, just out of the landscape.
But of course, nothing is entirely natural, is it? I mean, even the waterfall that's behind the artificial waterfall there has been kind of buttressed with a stone wall, and no doubt it has been sort of forced in different directions. And in a way, it's not even about that. It's just about a kind of self-awareness that you have while you are falling under the spell of things. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to stop us falling under the spell of things. And I think that's what's wonderful about him. It's not dry and conceptual and academic. He wants you to fall under the spell, but he wants you to take that experience and reinsert it back into life.
So tell us a little bit more about Andrew and Christine Hall, the couple behind this new Hall Art Foundation in Vermont. Who are they?
Right. Well, Andrew Hall is a very successful commodities trader, mainly oil, but also agricultural products, and a hedge fund manager as well. According to all reports, he's fabulously wealthy and has been collecting art with his wife, Christine. They're both very engaged with contemporary art for quite a long time. They like to collect art that in some ways is not so fashionable. I mean, some of it is, but a lot of what they like is German art that was big in the 1980s. So you have big paintings. And there is in the old sort of barn, the converted barn at this Vermont branch of the Hall Art Foundation, a display of paintings by Georg Baselitz, who was one of those sort of German neo-expressionist painters, well known for hanging all his figurative works upside down. That's his thing. So they've got lots of things on the boil, as I said, as they move into this more public phase.
Mm. The Halls aren't just active now in Vermont, but they do have a relationship with MassMoCA in Western Massachusetts. So can you tell us a little bit about what that relationship is like and what they're doing there?
Yes. Last fall, they opened this new building that they had funded and designed on the campus of MassMoCA, which, of course, is the former Sprague Electric Company, or Sprague Electric Company. And they have installed it with works from their collection by the German artist Anselm Kiefer. It's an interesting new sort of tack by MassMoCA, who have this enormous campus with a lot of still unused space. So they, rather than sort of trying to fund the development of it themselves, are increasingly looking to collaborate with other partners. So the Hall Art Foundation is one of those. But it's an interesting new tack anyway.
Yeah. Well, speaking of new tacks, what do you think the choice of Ólafur Eliasson and his work says about the direction the Halls want their art foundation to go in?
Yeah, well, it's a great question, Megna. I mean, I was interested that they chose Eliasson to open the Vermont branch of the Hall Art Foundation. In a way, he's a much more sort of cerebral artist than the other artists they seem to favor. But look, they have a very big collection and it is very varied. And so I guess, you know, this fits in for them.
The final question I have for you is, I would guess that lovers of contemporary art are delighted that the Halls are entering this new public phase. But I'm also curious about what direction you think contemporary art and major collectors are going with their overall relationship with the public. Here's why I'm asking, because, and perhaps it was ever thus, but a lot of the great art that was put on display was done by analogous institutions to the Hall Art Foundation, like, say, the Guggenheim, right? But then on the other end of the extreme, you have, you know, the big publicly chartered galleries and museums whose mission is perhaps a little different. Do you think that we're in a phase now again where couples or individual collectors like the Halls are going to be sort of at the forefront of putting contemporary art in front of the public?
Well, Megan, I think you got it right when you said it was ever thus. I mean, you know, there are many museums around the world, many of them kind of house museums, which were established by incredibly rich people like Isabella Stewart Gardner or Frick, or, you know, there are many others. And even the great big museums with, as you say, more public charters are only really made possible by fabulously wealthy collectors giving their works of art and their money to these places. I do think it's interesting now that the art market is kind of so out of control that it is in many ways only fabulously rich people who can buy certain kinds of art. Museums even don't really have the resources to buy some of this stuff. That said, the Halls aren't buying the predictable stuff. They're buying some fairly surprising and, in some cases, unfashionable things. And all credit to them for that, and all credit to them for putting it on public display.
So in the meantime, it sounds like you're saying it's worth taking a drive up to Vermont for yet another reason.
Absolutely. No, I enjoyed it immensely, and I think many other people will.
Well, Sebastian Smee is a Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic for the Boston Globe. He was talking with us today about the Hall Art Foundation, a new museum of contemporary art in Reading, Vermont, which is currently displaying the work of the Danish-Icelandic artist Ólafur Eliasson. Sebastian, thank you as always.
Thank you, Megna.
GMO labeling and great art. Two reasons to go to Vermont.
Two more reasons.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.